The greatest fly fisherman I ever knew was a big bear of a man. When he stood up straight, he was well over 6 feet tall. He had powerful, hairy arms and massive, hair-covered legs. His body was also hairy. For some reason, he kept his fingernails and toenails long and sharp. He didn't need a lot of fancy equipment to catch fish. In fact, most of the time, he didn't even use a rod and reel. He would just wade out in the river, reach down, and catch a fish with his bare hands. Sometimes he'd just stick his head underwater and catch one with his teeth. He didn't believe in highfalutin, politically correct ideas like catch and release. Whatever he caught, he ate, usually right there while it was still alive. Once I even saw him eat a muskrat. The only thing he liked better than fish was honey. He'd sniff out a beehive and tear it open with those long fingernails of his. Sometimes the bees would sting him and he'd let out a big roar of pain. I'd usually start laughing and he'd charge over and swat me across the head, opening up my scalp. But it was all in good fun. Besides fish and honey, and the occasional rodent, I think the only other thing I ever saw him eat was garbage. It's funny how someone can be so good at one thing, like fly fishing, and so terrible at other things, like driving a car. That's the way he was. Suffice it to say that whenever he got behind the wheel, 9 times out of 10, we'd end up rolled over in a ditch someplace, on fire. He didn't say much. In fact, hardly anything. He'd puff and growl if he didn't like the story you were telling, and usually you'd have to play dead until he calmed down. But then after he had another bowl of whiskey, he'd be ready for the rest of the story. He seemed to follow his own set of rules. For instance, he never wore any clothes. And trust me, he didn't like you trying to put clothes on him. Another one of his quirks was, well, he stank. Even after you offered him a mint and he took the whole roll away from you and ate it, his breath was still bad. At least when he would defecate, he'd go in the woods. Even worse, he had a drug problem. More than once I saw him staggering around, disoriented, with a syringe stuck in his behind. The authorities would come and carry him away, usually in a net hanging underneath a helicopter. But a few days later, he'd be right back, raring to fish. And boy, could he fish. In fact, when other fishermen saw him coming, they'd usually run away, screaming, because they knew they wouldn't be catching anything while he was around. After the fishing season ended, he seemed to lose interest in just about everything but sleeping. I think he'd sleep right through the winter if I let him, which I finally learned to do after repeated skull bites. People ask me what was the most important thing I learned from him about fishing. I guess it would be that you don't need to be a slave to matching the hatch. A lot of times you'll get just as many fish by chasing them into shallow water and pouncing on them, or by stealing them from other fishermen. The odd thing is I never knew his name. Some people would yell out Grizz when they saw him, but I don't think that was it. I tried Lonnie for a while, but that didn't seem to stick either. When I think back on it, all I can do is scratch my head and then wince from the stitches in my scalp. But this spring I discovered the most surprising thing of all when I saw him again after the long off-season. With him were two of the cutest, hairiest little children I'd ever seen. And then it finally hit me. The greatest fly fisherman I'd ever known wasn't a man at all, but a woman.